So who's talking first? 15 minutes each. I haven't seen him.
He'll be here, maybe. Have you spoken to him? Do you know if he's going to be here or not?
No.
He knows what it is. But maybe he's still in the fire truck or he might be here shortly.
Yeah.
All right, but it's 11:30, so let's go ahead and get started. This is June 8, 2010 budget workshop number one for the 2010-2011 fiscal year budget. And I will turn it over to Rick.
Thank you, Mr. President. We appreciate your time this afternoon. I will tell you that this will be the shorter meeting, but the rest of them won't be. So our intent today is to seek some guidance and direction from you on some assumptions so that we then have that information upon which to build our budgets.
Okay, and let me ask you a question as I was reading through this. And I know during the course of the year we talk about things that we want to either put in the budget, you know, take out. Is this what you've come up with here kind of a mix of all that you've kind of put in here and kind of put the budget together, and then as we go through the budget process, we're going to say we like this, we don't like that,
correct,
take this out, put this in, here's where we got this information from, here's where I got that, this is why I got this in here. And
correct, and,
okay,
and we think we are capturing the gist of what you want, but we'll need that direction as we go along.
Okay, all right.
And there'll be some items where we'll need to prioritize,
okay,
you know, where there's four or five things, but we can only fund two or three.
Right.
If you'd take a moment and get someone to turn the next one real quick.
Because I know during the course of the year, you continually ask us, would you like us to put this in the budget or not? And so I this is just a consultation of things like all that.
Yeah, this first one is actually pretty basic stuff, but as we move forward, whether formally or informally through emails or whatever, if you have certain thoughts or ideas or projects, we certainly would appreciate that data as we move forward. To start off this morning, we'd like to do some introductions. Of course, all of you have now had the chance to meet John Leahy, our finance director, and all of you know Cindy Kelly. He's been standing before you for quite some time, but we also like to introduce some of the budget team that is here today. And Cindy, I will call upon you to introduce those individuals if we might.
Thank you, Cindy Kelly, for the record. I have my budget team with me today. Tammy Haslam, she is our grant coordinator. I have Jennifer Love, who is a budget analyst. Angela Sisterly Temple, who is our grants accountant. And then Rita just ran out. Rita Kahn is our senior budget analyst. She just ran out to make a few more copies.
And then if we can introduce Karen, you're the chairman of our finance council. If you come up, introduce some of your group here. They're not all here, but most of them. Maybe they are mostly here.
I'm Karen White, Utility Services, the chair of the Finance Council. We've got several members today. We've got Lisa Greer, James Haynes, Diana Boozer. I had to think which. There are a couple other. Cindy's also on the committee, as is John. Catherine Cameron is also on the committee, and Rick is on the committee. I think that covers everybody.
We're missing somebody, though. Holly.
Oh, Holly Lane, yes, from Growth
and I
Development.
I think she's getting ready for the visioning session this afternoon. With that, I don't know who's going to take the lead. Is that you, Cindy? Well, I forewarned Cindy we're going to let her run through this, and I would probably interrupt a lot. So forgive me if we do.
As you stated, Mr. Gwynn, this is going to be just a general overview of some of the assumptions that we plan to use, try to put the budget together. and we will be looking to council for specific direction, you know, as we go through on multiple items. This is the staff that is presently working on the budget, which we just introduced. We want to talk about the evolution of the business plan. If you recall last year, Rick alluded to it being a two-year process of trying to get things cleaned up. So last year, we committed to making a lot of changes, and we just wanted to reiterate the fact that we are still on that path. So it's an evolutionary process. We are headed in the right direction, and through the budget process last year, we instituted some of those changes, and we continue to make them throughout the year and into the FY11 process. We have the schedule of the work sessions for you. As you can see, we're going to have a lot of workshops going forward. We've broken them up in a similar format as last year so that we can take the budget piece by piece so that you can look at each segment before we present the budget to you in its entirety. And all of the work sessions are the regular 11-day work session, with the exception of the last two, which are our statutorily required public hearings, which will be doing a regular council meeting, and those dates will be determined once we have our notification from the property appraiser and we go through that process. The format for the budget for next year is going to be similar to what you saw last year. We had a book that was a detail book that gave you all of the line item details for the different departments. We plan to redo that format, and it will be enhanced somewhat this year. You will have tabs for each of the different areas. You will also have some summary pages that explain what the changes are, what's different from last year to this year, any reductions or increases to highlight some of the different things that you'll be looking at. The capital improvement plan will be in a separate book as it was last year. During last year's capital improvement workshop, we did not have a workbook for the CIP. We will actually have a similarly detailed workbook for the CIP this year, in that you will see each project individually. You will see the assumptions that have gone to that project, how it's funded, what the expenditures are going to look like. You know, we're planning and design, construction right away. So you'll have those detailed breakdowns to be able to make informed decisions about which projects you would like to include in the capital plan.
And if I may, Cindy, on that, we're going to recommend prioritization, but that's a place where we want you to look at it and determine if the priorities were presented right or if they need to be changed,
right,
or if we missed anything.
Okay. All right.
Yes, and during the CIP workshop, we will also provide to you the replacement list for fleet and the facilities maintenance and any IT, so any type of projects that we're going to do for the city.
Good. Yeah, and that's what I was wanting, you know, pretty detailed.
Yeah, we'll detail every fleet purchase, why we're recommending it, any other piece of equipment outside of motorized, and then any major maintenance issues to any of our buildings, which we haven't done in the past.
Okay.
You know, the routine maintenance, but you know, if we have to replace AC units or major painting, carpeting, whatever those things might be.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I wanted to, you know, and John can really address this, but Councilman Priester, you know, is I want to make sure we have enough money set aside to maintain our buildings so we don't get in a situation like we did with the
auditorium.
Tuscola Park, the city auditorium, and things like that, and with this.
Yeah, and we'll lay out for you our renewal replacement plan with its three components: IT, facilities, and fleet.
Okay.
Yes, so you will get a comprehensive list. And also, this year, we also plan, the fiscal managers do attend, but we are going to look to the fiscal managers or the department head or whoever is specific to that area to really explain their area so that you can get full detailed information as opposed to it just being an overview from the budget department. So you'll see more interaction with council from respective areas. Some of the changes between next year's budget and last year's budget. The key management practices were adopted last year during the budget process. We will continue to look at those and add or change or anything based on what has happened throughout the year. An example would be of the fire services fee, that there have been changes recommended to that, so the key management practices will be revised to reflect that policy direction.
That's the movement from the feedback towards ad valorem.
Okay.
We are continuing to streamline the budget. Last year you saw some object code reductions, which are the different line items. We have continued in that vein this year to further reduce the line items. We will provide you with a matrix so that you can see what object codes were collapsed into which ones, because if not, you'd see like increases in this object code and it wouldn't be clear as to why it increased. So we will provide a matrix of, you know, these three lines collapsed into this code, so that it'll be clear for you. Okay. We've also done a division. Yes.
But don't, I mean, I understand where you're collapsing the, what do you call it, object codes, but don't get rid of it. You know, what's in there.
No. For instance, we may have a supplies this, supplies that, and the audits have recommended that we just have supplies.
Right.
But what you'll see is the supply line that was maybe 3,000 is now 30 because
right. All
we did is mesh them together.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
And
you will
that's
have that detail.
For the simplicity of the accounting process and the audit process.
Okay. All right.
Yes, and you'll see the prior year what those amounts were individually and what it's collapsed to.
Okay.
So you will see that.
Right.
We've also done some division consolidation in that we use OPD as a good example. They had multiple divisions. We've collapsed their divisions down. So you will also have a matrix of which divisions collapsed into each other so that you can have a clearer picture of what's going on. And we are continue to further streamline the allocation process.
Okay.
The capital improvement
let me stop you on the allocation process because you brought up a subject that we've all talked about in the past. Are we completely away from the allocation
process? Not completely. We've cleaned up the back and forth movement.
Right.
But what we're doing now is going back and looking at the formulas because the formulas are, we think, out of place. They're too high.
Right.
And in reality, the allocation process for the general fund will, in essence, be gone, but those things that the general fund supports, the enterprise funds, such as water or sewer, whatever,
right.
There will still be a transfer, but the transfer will be based on actual real costs,
okay.
Not some arbitrary number.
Okay. All right.
Yes, that's correct. Right? Yes, we are trying to lessen the burden all around, administratively and on the enterprise funds, to make sure that they're appropriately being charged for the support service.
You know, one of the problems facilities maintenance people had was they go out and repair something, and then there's 1,000 places to charge it to and try
right.
to get it in the right place.
Right.
They shouldn't have to be burdened with that. So their allocation will be in one pot, and they'll be able to just work on that.
Okay.
Not have to back charge it to wherever or whomever.
Okay.
And we talked a little bit about the CIP program of what we're going to do different. We're going to have some enhanced tracking of the projects. You will see some new reports coming to you next year that will outline what the available dollars are to do capital projects, what we have committed, what we need to keep in reserves to maintain for, you know, future year projects, and so that we don't have the issues that we've had in the past. So you'll see some enhanced reporting in that respect.
The intent there is that you know what the fund balance is, and that helps you determine whether you have dollars to move projects
right.
Forward. And more importantly, as a project is completed, if it didn't use all of the dollars it needed, that money goes back into the pot and it can't be used until it's reallocated by the council.
Okay, good. Because I know we're doing Tuscola, the baseball field over at Tuscola, looks like we're fixing that now.
Yeah, they're
putting new
regrading
sod.
It.
Okay, and then somebody said that they were doing it over at Garrick Field. Are they doing that also?
I don't know about Gearing Field or not.
Yeah, they did.
I think those are just routine maintenance dollars, though. I don't think they're capital projects.
Okay.
Gearing Field, baseball field getting redone, Kathy?
It's getting redone now.
Okay.
Okay, good. All right, thank you.
And we do hope to break that out for you as well when we come forward with the capital plan. What is going to be routine maintenance versus what's an actual capital project that's a one-time expenditure? Because we've kind of marred those two things in the past where everything was running together. So we've attempted to break those out and put the routine maintenance in the operating budget of the respective department so that they can do the upkeep so we don't get into a catastrophic situation.
The bottom line is, if you use bond dollars or borrowed dollars to do routine maintenance every year, you're just going to get behind financially. And borrowed dollars are for new construction, and then the maintenance of it has to come from your operating expenses.
We will also be bringing the fee schedule back to you. That was an enhancement we did last year when we adopted the fee schedule as a part of the budget, and you will see that brought back to you again. There we had decentralization of the purchasing function during the current fiscal year. We've had some enhanced alignment of the business functions, where we've kind of moved around which of the assistant city managers govern which section to try to better align resources. And then we are working towards the public access, where we can get our financial reports and things up on the website, in addition to just the CAFR and the budget document, to get up some different type of quarterly reporting for the public to be able to see. So that's our goal for mid-year of FY11.
That's what you are asking for, correct? Good.
Yes, and we are working towards that effort. The different items that we're going to discuss in the budget process, of course, will be the tentative millage rate, fees and taxes, revenue projections, growth, insurance, personnel, longevity, pension, and salary, and we will cover each one individually. The first item is our millage comparison. Property values continue to decline in Marion County. As you're aware, things are kind of assessed in arrears, so the impact of the foreclosures and the property value declines is kind of a year behind for us, so we're starting to see some of those impacts. I did a little history for you of what the value of the mill has been. It has declined steadily year after year. We are now expecting the value of the mill for next year's budget to be at $3.7 million. 2 years ago, we were at $4.4 million. So for the same millage, we're bringing in a lot less dollars. This is the preliminary rate. The property appraiser does give us an estimate on June 1, which this is his estimate. On July 1 or sometime thereafter, he will actually certify the property rolls to us. And then at that time, we will bring forward to you an actual calculated tentative millage. But we are going to recommend adopting the rollback rate again, which is a revenue neutral option. We're assuming that to be around 4.9 for the next year. But again, until we actually have the 420s in hand, where we know what all those numbers are, that's our assumption. But we're going to go with rollback, so we're not going to recommend property tax increase.
Can I ask, what is the millage rate for this current budget year?
It's 4.9664.
Okay. Thank you.
And what rollback is... is that you are generating the same revenue as the prior year. So the actual millage rate may not be the same, but it generates the same dollars.
Based on the early recommendations, we're looking pretty good.
Right.
Or the estimate.
Mm-hmm. We're not recommending any fee or tax increases for the coming budget year. We wanted to highlight some of the things that are changing. Water and sewer impact fees have been reduced by approximately 23%. The water and sewer front foot connection fees are being eliminated. Electric is going to have an approximate 4% rate decrease, which is in the BPCA. That's correct, yes, it's in the BPCA. If you average it out over the whole bill with the usage, it's around 2%.
That's what I was going to say, it was around 2%.
So it's an overall 2%, but the BPCA was reduced 4%. Okay. The best management practices continue to be implemented. We are actively working on the policy to transition the fire service fee back to an ad valorem based approach. And again, that will be shown in the comprehensive fee schedule. Our revenue and growth projections, we are not expecting to receive additional stimulus dollars. Those pots of monies are drying up at this point. We expect SHIP and our community development block grant dollars to be greatly reduced. In some cases, it will be reduced all the way to zero in the case of SHIP.
SHIP, we don't anticipate it will be in dollars, but CDBG, I think we should come in flat or just modestly below where we've been.
Well, we had talked about doing some different things with those CDBG dollars and spending them
And that will be one of the policy transition things. We talked about, you know, transitioning program to give these agencies time, and that will be one of the policy statements that we bring back for your consideration.
Okay.
Our tax revenues, we're expecting them to be flat. Sales tax, communications tax, gas taxes, we do not expect any increases there. We have talked about the economic improvement program. Mark Mundell's group has done some work to recover from companies that did not meet their triggers. And we are expecting that as those dollars are paid back, they will replenish the economic improvement fund. So we just wanted to, we're going to put that forward in our policies as well, so that council is clear that that money will go back into economic improvement and not be spent elsewhere in the budget.
We just basically want to put the dollars back into the fund it came out of and not just lose it to the general fund.
Right.
Population growth, we're expecting that to be flat. And we do expect a modest increase in business growth and permit growth, but we are going to budget very conservatively. Our next topic is insurance. Council has previously approved for us to move towards partially self-insured program. So we were estimating a 14.3 increase, which is what we received from the actuary. In order to fully fund the partially self-insured health plan, we needed to have a 60-day surplus. So if we look at our current premiums, which is approximately $7.5 million, 14.3% of that would be roughly $1 million. When we move to partially self-insured, we get to save the 2% state premium tax. So that's about $148,000. We're estimating our pharmacy rebates, which as we indicated earlier in the year, we don't have exact dollars of those because they don't come to us currently. But we're estimating those to be about $150,000. And then our estimated stop loss reimbursement, about $376,000. So in total, that's approximately a $675,000 savings for moving to the partially self-insured plan. So with our premium increasing to 8.6, less our savings, we expect to be in and around 7.9 next year. So that is a reduction of the increase to 5.3% versus the 14%. So we're excited that we're able to have that opportunity. And again, you know, these are estimates until we get actual billings in, but this is where we expect to be. So we are well along the way to that plan, and we have identified the funding source to fund the 60-day surplus as approved by council.
Answer the question. You had mentioned, Rick, on that 60-day surplus, we were moving a couple of million dollars from somewhere over to the health plan to cushion that.
Yes.
Where was that money coming from?
Coming out of the replacement renewal fund.
Okay, which was the like maintenance for
fleet replacement mostly.
Okay.
And it's just a loan to be paid back over time.
Okay.
But that fund is higher than it needs to be. You recall it was building too quickly, and we actually reduced it to, we didn't reduce it, but we created the IT and facilities fund out of it.
Right.
To start funding those.
Okay.
Important thing about the insurance is we do expect premiums to increase 5.3%, but our proposal is not to pass on any cost to our employees, that it would be absorbed by the city.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like I said, I suggested we look at this about 7 years ago, but you know, we didn't. But I think this is really the right direction given the situation we're in. I mean, a 14% rate increase is just, couldn't do that, period. Whether we're paying for it, employees are paying for it, anybody, you know, we just couldn't afford it. So it's pretty much the only option we have, but I think it's the right direction. So anyway.
Our next area is personnel. There has been discussion about the longevity. We are not recommending any changes to the current policy on longevity for the coming FY11 year. Our pension plan, our required contribution continues to increase. We plan to use any fund balance within the pension funds to absorb that increase prior to using general fund dollars. We have also formed a committee.
We do anticipate the need to use some general fund dollars, though, and I think it's important the city has done a remarkable job in making sure that they keep the funding of the pensions up. And a lot of cities across America and Florida are deferring those pension payments, not to the pensioners, but to the fund.
Right.
Thinking that it's going to get better tomorrow. And frankly, what they're saying is going to be some other council or some other manager's problem tomorrow. But we want to make clear that it's our feeling, and I'm yours, that we want to stay current with the pension and keep it paid full and in current. So we will use the fund balance dollars that have been generated over the years, but we probably will have to subsidize it with general fund dollars to make sure it stays whole and where it needs to be.
Okay. Well, I know our friends up in Alachua County are having to borrow money to make pension contributions.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Yeah, it's not a good situation.
Now, when you talk about deeper and deeper in the hole.
Yeah, well, yes. But when you talk about plan contributions, you're talking about general employees, police, and fire, correct?
Yes, that's correct. All
three. Okay. What's our total pension contribution for those three plans now? Do you know that off the top of your head?
It's in the
it's close. It's probably about that we had to kick in for current year.
Well, just to, you're talking about just city's part of all everything, employee and city.
City's part.
City's part is.
I don't know. I'd have to look at the actual report.
That's all right. I was just curious as to what it is now or what it's grown to.
Yeah, it's around $4 million.
Pardon me?
It's around $4 million.
Okay. And then on, looks like October 1, you're going to come back with some ideas for potential changes.
Yes, sir. We've got a committee put together with representatives from police, fire, and general to talk about things. Again, we're talking about two things, particularly one, new hires after October 1, if there are any changes in police and fire, they may not can be.
Right.
And secondly, just how the three pensions can bring economies of scale, how we work with consultants and other brokerages and so forth.
Right.
Or share information to anywhere we can save dollars, or when someone finds something good, share it with another.
Right.
So those are the two objectives of the committee, and we'll bring those recommendations back to you.
Okay. All right. Good.
The other committee that we've recently formed is a 980 work schedule committee. I'm looking at the possibility of going to 980 or 410s or some combination thereof. They're researching whether or not the city would be able to save any dollars with actual shutdowns. Where, you know, is it viable to shut down City Hall for, you know, 2 days a month, or how would that work? There's obviously departments that would not apply. We can't close OPD or the fire department. So we have a committee researching those plans now.
980 means every other Friday you would shut down. During the week, then you'd be open earlier, 7:30 to say 5:30.
Right.
There's some benefit to our citizens who have work schedules who can get in before or after.
Sure.
But this came as a recommendation from the employee representative committee to look at, and we said that if there were viable, real dollars that can be saved and passed on to our constituents, we'd look at it. So the committee has been formed, and they are meeting, and they are looking at it. And you know, I don't know if it makes sense in the day, but we'll find out.
I mean, what dollars would you save other than utility costs of having the building up? And then they're still going to get paid the same amount of money the people that are on salary.
Yeah, that's what it reason it comes down to is the energy costs.
Okay.
So, Gainesville did a 410s. I'm not. We're looking at a 980, which is every other Friday, but. Again, it's just a committee being done through the ERC. It's not the ERC committee doing it, but based on the recommendations, and we just want to make you aware that that's being reviewed, and we'll see what recommendations come out of it.
Employee, I'd definitely go for that one.
Yeah. So.
No disrespect.
But employees understand there has to be a viable, real return and value. So.
And there are pros and cons. You know, you might have some scheduling. Aftercare or before care issues with, you know, daycares and school and getting to the bus stop and
right.
This kind of thing. So there's, they're going to be researching all the angles, but it does need to save the city, you know, dollars at the end of the day
right.
In order for it to work.
Okay.
We have an approximate employee headcount right now of about 952 full-time and 75 permanent part-time employees, which is reduced from years prior through mostly through attrition and the early retirement plan that happened.
And that's what we anticipate for next year, and that does not include our seasonal employees.
Okay.
You know, like the camp personnel and recreation personnel.
Okay.
There's been some discussion related to the salary plan. As council is aware, there were not any merit or COLA given in the current fiscal year. The prior fiscal year saw a COLA, which was negated by the increase in health premiums and the retirement plan. So some employees actually landed up in the red, so to speak, once the premium increases took effect. We are looking at, for all regular full-time and regular part-time positions, a flat dollar increase to the base, and we're looking at it for employees earning $45,000 or less, anywhere between $400 to $900.
And actually, that $400 typo was $500
to $900. And then an increase for the regular full-time employees in excess of $45,000, not to exceed $750 for the year. We're working on a pro rata plan for our permanent part-time employees. They're hourly, and some of their schedules are different, whether they're 15-hour, 35-hour, so we've got some work to do there yet. The cabinet members are excluded from the plan, and any employees that are on the initial probation period or some type of performance improvement plan or disciplinary probation period would also be excluded from the merit increase.
Okay. You said the increase for regular full-time employees earning $45,000 will range from $400 to $900. Then on the next line, you say the increase for regular full-time employees making $45,000 will not exceed $750.
Less than and then greater than. The first section is less than 40 employees making $45,000 or less. The second section is employees making greater than
$45,000. That doesn't say or less.
Yeah, it does. See that little arrow?
The little carrots mean less than or greater than.
We should probably should have spelled that out.
I should have spelled that out. I apologize.
We'll fix it. Let me just touch on that for a moment. First off, 2 years ago, when the last time there was a COLA, it was mostly the lower-end employees who, between the premium increase in health and retirement, in some case they didn't realize anything. So the intent is really basically a 2% increase, but not less than $500. And then those employees greater than, it's basically 1%, not to exceed $750. And what I'm trying to draw a parallel to is, if you know, in the history of the city, and frankly every city in America, is that we give 3% this or 2% that or 5% that, and when you're making $25,000, that doesn't add up very quick.
No.
When you're making $60,000, it adds up a little quicker, and when you're making $85,000, it adds up even quicker. So the concern is that some of our employees make sure they have a good living wage. And I realize some may say, well, but we're all in this depressed economy. But I wanted to note that the reason we can do this is because our employees have worked extra hard to create the efficiency to save the dollars, because we're not generating new dollars through taxes,
right,
or increases. They've worked extra hard to create the dollars to make this happen. And I think, and I've spoken to a lot of our employees on both sides of that magic 45,000 line, and you know, there's a few that wonder, but the vast majority of them say that seems right and fair. You know, we didn't talk specifically numbers, just that we want to concentrate on our lower end to make sure they had a living wage. And in most cases, it just gets them back on par with what they would have lost last year. So this, and not passing on the health at 5.3%,
right,
is really it.
Yeah.
Are the cabinet members getting a raise or not?
No, ma'am. The cabinet collectively decided that we all agreed we deserve one, but we also agreed we don't need one. So, and that was across the board. It was not a mandate, it was a collective decision. So we hope you would support that. We feel that, like I said, you know, we have employees that, and cost of living has gone up even in this downturn economy, and we have some employees whose spouses have lost jobs, and like I said, some of our lower end employees, frankly, went in the red last year with the year before, not last year, with the health and extra retirement cost, so.
Mr. President?
Yes, Councilman Priester.
Has anyone in the last, in the city over the last 2 years received a COLA?
Not a COLA, no, sir.
A cost adjustment?
Probably have been some cost adjustments, particularly in the, we have some union contracts that we have to abide by, and then our program with our training for our electrical employees. They are people who were promoted and took on additional dollars because they took on additional responsibilities. We are looking at some adjustments with our call takers and dispatchers presently, make sure that they're in line, and we are looking at OPD salaries.
I know that.
Presently.
I know that the school resource officers, when we look at the budget for that the other night, I noticed that there's about 6% cost of living adjustment on the school resource officers.
We do have people, when they work shifts, they get the differential while they're on the shift, 3% or 6% depending on which shift they're on, but that's been standard practice for a while, and they come and go depending on their shifts.
Were there any other employees over the last year or two that were adjusted in their pay other than the cabinet members that we know of that
I'm sure there probably are. I don't know that.
From that wage study plan from 2007? That's what I was in reference to.
I'm sure there are, as we've consolidated through the early retirement and so forth, and we took three jobs and merged them down to two jobs. We've had some of that, yes.
As in department heads, or?
I'm not where, help me out.
Like the public works director, maybe, did, was he adjusted?
Glenn says no. Jeff Halcom received an adjustment as he took on the engineering responsibilities, and
okay.
And after Hicks left,
mm-hmm.
We never moved him for a while, but that adjustment's been made. Daryl Muse, same way, moved over from purchasing out there.
Right, he come from purchasing director and was moved over to water and sewer. And
right. We've had a few.
In the field other than cabinet, okay.
Yeah, no cabinet changes since, I can't remember when.
Will that reflect in our budget for 2011 as to the adjustments that have been made?
Yes.
That we have reflected?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So one thing we know for certain over the last 30 years, council compensation hasn't changed.
That's the one.
Yeah, what can we do about that?
Yeah. That's up to the voters.
I have to pay the city to have health insurance.
I know, you pay to be on here. So, that's up to the voters. Anyway, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
A few other items. We are going to recommend holding the line, if you will, on charitable giving requests to the current year level. As the economy downturns, sometimes you get more requests from the public to fund their respective organizations. But we're going to recommend that we just fund the existing organizations that we've funded in the past and not entertain new or additional requests.
We'll fund the same amount. Some of them are year to year, and some of them are at your discretion.
Right.
You'd make that call, but we recommend we fund on par with this year.
Okay. So the same amount of money will be available for that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And you can decide. Most of the time we don't have, there's the traditional things that we know to expect, like the Christmas parade and light of Ocala and some of the others. Others we don't know until they come in, so it just sits there waiting for you to make decisions at the council meetings.
An example of that is the Public Policy Institute that requested funding at the last council meeting, so that is for 2011, so you'll see that request that, in the budget.
Yeah, that actually doesn't come out of the charitable giving pot.
No.
It's a different pot of money.
Right.
But I guess what we're saying is we're not going to be increasing that budget, we're not going to decrease it, we're just going to hold the line.
Yeah, and we haven't made a decision on that as of yet, correct?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, I want to really think about that before we do that.
That'll be part of your budget deliberation.
You asked us just put it in because we can always take it out.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right.
Another thing that we're looking at is our arrangement with the Transportation Planning Organization. Presently, the agreements, the joint participation agreements with the Florida Department of Transportation are signed by Mr. Slay, and they are not coming to council. With TPO being a part of the city's budget and us being responsible, if you will, for those dollars, we are going to recommend that those agreements start to come before council. And Mr. Slay is very comfortable with that. He would like the council to kind of sign off on those agreements as opposed to it just being him who has signed for, you know, purchases of $1 million and things without the council looking at those.
Right.
So the TPO board will look at those, make the original approval recommendation, if you will. They will come to the city council for ratification.
Well, we are one and the same. I mean, both the county commission, I mean, we see them at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on, you know, TPO meeting, and then they show up again, you know, here at council meeting. So we're looking at the same document.
Yeah, it's just a procedural thing to so we follow the same rules through.
Right.
And what I would recommend, council, is since as a TPO, you're approving them originally.
Right.
And when we bring them through, that I just plan to put them on the consent agenda because you will have already viewed them as the TPO. And then if you want to pull it, you can.
Okay.
But it's a procedural thing to make sure the budget amendment catches up to the action items.
Okay.
That's where the procedure is breaking down, because it's not coming before city council, it's not on our agenda, so it's not always making it into the budget.
Okay.
And you all need to approve a budget resolution really to take in those funds.
Okay.
So
that's
we
fine.
Need to appropriate the dollars. Our agreement with SunTrust, which is who we bank with presently, is set to expire in September of this year. We are actively entering into negotiations for some better terms and fees. SunTrust, we are not at all unhappy with the service that we receive.
And I think we have a recommendation probably to just go ahead and put it out to bid and
yeah.
See what the other vendors in the community want to jump in.
Yeah, the last time we did this was 7 years ago.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of new banks out there, banking industries change. Mm-hmm. So it'd probably be best to negotiate terms with just everyone. Rather than just SunTrust and give everybody an opportunity to you know, look at it and bid on it.
Sure. I mean, council, with September fast approaching, perhaps you would give staff permission to, and we can bring this back in a formal meeting when you can take action, but we might ask for, you know, to extend that September 2010 3 months or 4 months.
Yeah,
to give
I think
us time
you're going
to go through
to.
That process.
Yeah, I think you're going to need to.
So you might put that down as a future action item.
We'll bring that back for your
consideration. Okay, I don't think SunTrust would be.
Well, I'm sure
let us go
did,
month
so.
To month.
I'm sure we'll receive it from them. And our last item is we will continue in an effort to implement the audit findings. As council is now the audit committee, you are aware that we have lots of findings from our prior audits that we have been working to implement, both on the finance side and the budget side of the house, and we will continue to implement until we have an action plan in place for all of the findings so that we can have corrective action. And I'll take any other questions or
okay.
comments that you have.
How are we doing in regards to reconciling the bank statements that we've discussed in the past?
John, do you want
we
to call
up
you?
To date or?
By the end of this week, we'll be done with September.
Good.
Yeah, we anticipate
by the end of this week, we'll be done with
September
2009 bank reconciliation.
And we'll have the auditors in on the 28th.
Scheduled for the 28th. We've got a soft date on the 28th with confirmation this week.
And then once they finish that, we'll move forward and we'll
September 2009, we're 9 months
we've
behind.
We've been doing a thing simultaneously as we move forward.
Right.
All the work's done. We just have to balance it against
right.
the end balance. But you'll see that it will take how long to?
Talking to them yesterday, they said 3 to 4 weeks to actually do the audit.
Because all we need is this year's balance to add this or
okay.
start from.
So about three or four more weeks will be completely caught up?
Well,
the auditors are coming on the 28th of June. It'll take them about 3 to 4 weeks to complete the audit.
Okay.
But we'll have everything done by the 28th before they come in.
But we were doing a 1 month about every 2 weeks as far as
right.
reconciling. And right. we thought we would be done.
Once we have the baseline, catching up the rest of this year beats the cake, because they've been doing the month-to-month as they need to do.
Okay. All right. So the month-to-month will be caught up here.
Yes, sir. Our target next year is to have the auditors in, what did we say, March?
March will be a good target date.
Okay. All right. All right. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Councilman Priester?
When we discuss for the new SunTrust negotiations contract or the other banks, whichever, in the past, in the city, we've had procurement card purchasing available to all, well, throughout departments. And I understand that a lot of that has been taken out and gone by the wayside. Are we going to revitalize that idea and put it back in place where the purchasing can be consumed through the departments and made it a lot simpler like it was with the procurement card process? Or can y'all enlighten us on that a little bit, please?
I can touch on that. It hasn't been done away with, but what we have done is we're beginning to put out rules that it shouldn't be used for capital purchases. It shouldn't be used for routine maintenance issues where you should be cutting a purchase order. For instance, uniform cleaning, you know, you would do a purchase order for the whole year, and each month they send us one invoice, and you know, it's generally the same amount every month based on a contract. And then the third thing is who really needs them and who really doesn't. And we're trying to focus on the fact that the cards got a little too convenient in that if you're out on a job site and you need something, you can just run and get it instead of pre-planning properly. And you know, it's always cheaper to buy a dozen shovels through a wholesale supplier in stock for the year than, oh, I need a shovel, run to Walmart and get one, or Sears and get one. So they haven't been done away with, and they are being used, but we are restructuring how they're used and when they're to be used, and that's in process.
But we can't go out and buy a dozen air conditioners and let them sit in the warehouse out there and hold on to them at that time neither.
No, but I think what we're trying to say is if it's a capital, if it meets the criteria of a capital project, you know, when you run out and use the purchase cards, we find the expense shows up 45 days later. And if you use a purchase order, you have to encumber the dollars immediately. And so from an accounting point of view, we're finding it's much easier to do this. So we're just trying to redefine the role and purpose of the cards.
So that's simplifying in the process at finance as well?
Yes.
All the way through the system of finance?
It has made great improvements, yes.
Getting the billing system out too?
Correct. You said the purchase cards got definitely out of hand with budgets being overexpended because people were in the field just spending away with no regard for how much money was budgeted.
Sure.
And there's not really a viable reason to purchase an air conditioner with your credit card. That would be an item that would be ordered. It would be kind of purchase order. So they still have their purchase cards in order to make, you know, ancillary purchases as necessary.
Some departments have rolled it too far back. Some haven't rolled it back enough, so we're trying to find that right place.
So is it going to go away now, or are y'all saying we're still reviewing it to streamline it?
Right, and redefine it.
And redefine it.
We have a place.
We have no intention of taking the purchase cards away altogether.
Okay. I just was wondering if there had been any thought about perhaps having an agreement with a vendor and then with a set price, that let's say shovels, since that was what you used. And then if they were to need one out in the field, they have to go to that one, that specific vendor, to get that shovel on a pre-approved discounted price.
Yes. In some areas of need, that's exactly what we can do. With some of our chemical supplies, fuels, those type of products, it's even easier to do. We're actually talking about going out and bidding out our gas so we can lock in a price for 3 months or 6 months or whole year,
right,
rather than, you know, this sort of thing. So we're looking at a lot of those things to do that. And believe it or not, though, until we resolve some of the other issues we've been talking about, the reconciliations and so forth. See, our department heads right now have to have the ability to go online and see exactly where they are.
Right.
And they're struggling to do that right now. And the process that finance is going through will get it there, because at the end of the day, it's the department heads and their approved supervisors who have the authority to manage their budgets. It's really not finance, it's them. And so we're just trying to get them the tools that they have. So if you can imagine, in supplies, 1 month, I think we had, maybe it was a quarter, I want to say 10,000 purchase card transactions, which is, you know, just a lot. Mm-hmm. And so we're just trying to streamline and re-clarify where they're to be used and where they're not, because there is a role for them, and there's a right role for them. And then, you know, who has access and who doesn't.
Well, one of the things we had talked about, gosh, not on council back in December of 99, early in 2000, we had talked about putting the gas out to bed. You know, that was when the quick kings were on by, you know, one person. And it was like a central billing system. You'd go to any of them, and they would send a bill and say, you know, truck number 57 got, you know, this amount of gas. And is that what you're talking about doing? And
having it some could kind be of that. It could be just a direct fuel purchase, right, also at a lock price, or it could be a combination of all of it. I know certainly for OPD, they would sure like more flexibility to buy at different parts of town instead of having to come back to the fuel depot. Sure. And I think they do have some flexibility when they need to. But
well, and I think OEU and those guys, I mean, I'm sure they fill up and do that stuff before they go out, so they're probably set. But you're right, people that are traveling around town all day, code enforcement, et cetera, you know, especially the police department, you know, if they could just buy gas wherever they need to buy gas at 3 o'clock in the morning or wherever it may be, you know, while they're on patrol, that would sure be a lot easier than driving back over to the city yard and filling up, and maybe we could get a better, you know, deal on it anyway.
In lieu of that, though, do we or do we not still have an agreement with Clardy Oil to provide our fuel at our fuel islands, as well as downtown on Magnolia?
Yeah, we did.
I thought we did.
I think we did, don't we?
No. Anybody? Chris is not here, so.
Oh, I'm sure we did.
See, in lieu of what you're saying there, and if availability is there, that Clardy had provided for years, and I haven't heard any change to where we didn't. That being the fact that Clardy does supply the fuel for the fuel island at the complex, but he also has his satellite down on Magnolia next to the train station. Mm-hmm. So any vehicles from the city can use either or place,
right,
to purchase fuel.
Yeah, the one on the escort also.
I was wondering if that one was still active. I wasn't sure if that one was or not.
Yeah,
but it was. Yeah. Is the one on the S-curb up there still available as well?
Yeah.
So there is three?
Yeah, they're redoing the tanks right now. But yeah.
They are?
Yeah.
So that, taken in consideration as well, would enhance what you're saying there as far as what they're looking at as far as the fuel being available in different areas. It wouldn't be just to the complex. That. I would want to weigh in on that other part about your items about 12 shovels, and there is an issue there I know a lot of people have trouble with, because when that, for an example, speaking of, we have inventory loss control that we have a big issue over throughout every department in the city of Ocala, and that is a main concern, because when you look at inventory loss control in a large number, you're talking tax dollars. And if you have a surplus of said items within a department, then there's an issue there as to monitoring inventory there again. And we've taken our purchasing department and we've kind of devised our purchasing department and divided it throughout the city and put a lot of the purchasing buyers within departments, if I'm correct, to where they do all of the buying. So now there's no central warehouse per se to hold said items of 12 shovels or whatever they may be. So if I'm correct, that would be back within the departments to hold all these items.
Well, to my knowledge, there really never was one, even under the centralized. The warehouse was 99% utility related, electric,
right,
and
water, sewer, utilities, and public works.
Well, there wasn't a whole lot of inventory when we do the annual inventories out there, but at the end of the day, it's the department heads and their designees who have to take responsibility. And I guess we can be fluid enough to move in whatever directions we need to do to accomplish those things. And if it means, you know, central warehouse or whatever, then we can move in that direction. But I think the real key is that, you know, we need to equip our trucks and make sure the trucks stay equipped. And part of our problem today is, you know, theft. You know, we may have to get trucks that have more lock bodies or cabinets that can be locked. You know, you can't just put something in the bed of a truck anymore, because it would be gone.
No, you can't.
And so we may have to spend a few more dollars on the front end as we buy our panel trucks and so forth, so we can lock this stuff up, but I think we probably will save money in the end run, the cost of theft, and we have had break-ins into the compound.
Yeah, I was going to reflect on that as well when you're talking about that. It's not on the inventory item that we're talking about that issue, but I do remember a trailer out there that was Rudolph City property some time ago with some mowers on it that were in a neighborhood of $25,000 to $30,000 a piece, and there was 2 to 3 of them on there. That's a pretty good hit for taxpayers.
Yeah.
But that was inside our fence compound.
Well, and I think Rick and I have talked about this before. I think what Rick's alluding to is when you know that you're going out to a specific job, get everything together, get all your tools that you're gonna need for the job before you leave the right. warehouse, so that you don't get in the middle of a job and go, gosh, we don't have, a widget. Somebody run down to Lowe's and buy one of those, and we might have 15 of them sitting in the warehouse. So, I mean, that's kind of what you're talking about, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, some of our crews do an excellent job of it, and some don't.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? Mayor? Councilwoman Rick? All right.
Thank
Do you have anything else?
Council, the assumptions all we laid before you, we're good to move forward with those. You certainly have the right to make changes over the whole process, but we'll let this be the foundation by which we build upon.
Very good. Great job. All right. Thank y'all.
You.
I want to ask him something.
See you out there. I hope we have a good turnout from the west side.
If you want to.